This is going to drive me nuts. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. How can I not think about it? I know what's going on. It's going to drive me crazy. I shouldn't even care one whit, but there it is. The two strands of lights outside the diner are out of sync. I saw this when I came in today. There's one strand, and there's another, and they're the kinds that have 148 different settings on them, and one is on setting number 123, and the other is on setting number 7, so one of them is blinking very rapidly, and the other is blinking slowly with a glow, and they're out of sync. There's just no way they're ever going to come together. Now, I suppose if I wait long enough, the infinite monkeys typing on a million typewriters... Or is it a million monkeys on an infinite number? It can't be a million monkeys on an infinite number of typewriters, because then you'd have an awful lot of typewriters going unused. That's a million monkeys on a million typewriters working in infinity to produce Shakespeare. Which I never bought that. I never believed that for a second. I know theoretically that it's true, but I mean, what if after 750 million years there's a monkey who types everything in Shakespeare except for a character named Himlet instead of Hamlet? And then the whole thing's ruined because that monkey has not typed Shakespeare at all. Well, he has, but he just got that one part wrong, and so therefore you've got to start all over again. I suppose that's why they have the infinite amount of time in it. But really, I mean, who's got time to sit around for that? God, I suppose. Maybe that's just the entire point of this universe. I've always tended to think that every universe in the multiverse has its own purpose. They're all their own sims with a given set of physical laws and unusual circumstances, and we may happen to be living in the universe where we're the only ones here, which would be a drag. And then there's another universe that's incredibly populated, and you can't go to the moon without bumping into spaceships coming through your territory. This could just be the million monkey one, where the whole point was to create a world that would produce not us, but monkeys, who then could theoretically produce the works of Shakespeare. If you're God, you got time on your hands. You know, it's you got a lot of space to work with, sort of thing you'd do to keep yourself amused, I guess. But the lights are out of sync, and eventually, I suppose, they will generally sync up, but only if they're set on the random function, which means that they randomly go from one 143 different settings to the next, which means, well, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand years from now, they'd sync up, and we'd be dead. Nobody would particularly care, so I can either just not think that they're not in sync, because it bugs me, or I can turn away, which is what I'm doing now, except that I see the reflection against the chrome. There's kind of chrome everywhere in a diner. Or I can go do something about it, can't I? I could go out there and take matters and or electrical plugs into my own hands. Hi there, folks. Welcome to the diner. I'm James Laddock, sitting in my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern from like a counter. Out of the old diner on old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from where you happen to be right now. Or maybe a little longer. We're supposed to get snow and lots of it. We're supposed to have a whiter-than-white Christmas here in the diner, especially out here in the rural areas where there isn't really much to impede the snow or to melt it before it gets here. We just get dumped on. So give yourself a little extra travel time if you're coming to the diner, and I don't know why you wouldn't. It's our Christmas edition. Plenty of stools available. We'll have the Breathy White People's Chorus a little later to sing some Christmas songs. There's some mulled Jubal. That's right, Jubal, the old and long discontinued, I might add, soft drink that the diner owners stocked up on an awful long time ago. Got plenty of Jubal, just crates of it in the basement. And this time of the year, we tend to mull it. I'm not sure what that means either. It means that we consider it at length. No, it means we add some sort of spices to it. Cinnamon and orange and the rest of that crap. Anyway, otherwise, aside from the lights that aren't right, everything here is quite festive. There are, everything here seems to have been purchased at a dime store of Ben Franklin about 1965. Plastic boughs of holly with little plastic red berries. There's a cardboard cutout of Santa in the window. And back in those days, if I remember correctly, and what I'm looking at here is a perfect example of the genre. They couldn't even be bothered to print the other side. So you'd put up Santa in your living room window, the front room window, and the back of it would just be absolutely blank cardboard in a general Santa shape. How festive. And some of the mirrors have been flocked as well. I don't know if you can still buy this stuff. My mother used to love it. Flock in a can. I don't know why she didn't use it for hairspray during that time of the year. It would have been quite festive. She would generally empty a can of Aquanet in her head in mid-60s, I don't know if any flocking could have done any more damage, and it would have given her a nice little frosty seasonal touch. But the flock in a can, you could spray it on mirrors, and it would make it look as though snow had entered your house and adhered solely to reflective surfaces. So I'm not sure how that worked, but probably taken off the market because kids were huffing it. I mean, people would be stupid enough to take and inhale something that left large white fibrous deposits on trees. Yeah, let's put this in our lungs. Why not? So we've got the flock, we got the plastic stuff, we've got the cardboard Santa. We're pretty much decked out, and the jukebox, might I add, has been stuffed with all sorts of seasonal favorites. I'm sure there's Sammy Davis Jr. in there somewhere as penance for what we did wrong this year. I have no idea, but we'll learn. Back to the lights. I remember dimly when I was a kid, I don't think lights blinked. I may be wrong. It may be that I just lived in a neighborhood where blinking was seen as, I don't know, a little too much. It's a little too ostentatious. Lights weren't meant to blink. You wanted those fancy blinking lights, you went to your New York City with the rest of the sodomites. But we just had lights as big as your thumb, and they came in a couple of colors, white and red and multicolored, and Dad strung them up and plugged them in, and that was it. Now, of course, it's great production. At some point, blinking was introduced, and I'm not sure exactly why. Somebody wanted to simulate the what they believed to be the actual action of the stars, and was probably completely finished with the idea of the whole blinking technology before somebody pointed out, well, actually, you know, those stars are steady burning. It's more or less an atmospheric trick that they blink. And then that person was probably strangled with a cord, a heavy plastic cord that the guy used to test out his blinking lights. But the blinking lights were then followed by the multi-positional blinking lights. These are the ones that have more positions in them than the Kama Sutra, frankly. I mean, there's 148, 43, as I mentioned before, and there are things like happy twinkling, chasing lights, steady burning. That's always my favorite. Makes you want to go get some penicillin. And other kinds of names that don't really tell you what they do. But you have to take this little tiny switch and adjust it to figure out which setting you want. And if you don't get it right, there's no going back. You can't get the things to sync once they're out of sync. It's just hopeless. It just can't be done. Me, I do them in just the on and the off. The on and the off, the blink, the binary system. And actually what I'm doing there is, I'm using that. I've programmed it so that it will communicate in binary code the entire software for Microsoft Office 2010. It's kind of how we're doing wares around the neighborhood here. So if there are any kids who are walking by the neighborhood with a pad and a pen and they tend to see that there's some sort of pattern here to this, they will they'll be taking down those ones and zeros and have themselves some free software for Christmas. How about that? Well, it's been an interesting year, hasn't it? Not necessarily at the diner, because I haven't been here with you as much as I would have liked to have been. I've been busy, and that's good. Employment is a dandy thing to have. The diner itself has just gone through so many changes in the last couple of years, but seems to have settled down. That's the curious part. If you remember 2 or 3 years ago, we were purchased by, I don't know who bought us, frankly. I have no idea who bought the diner. They were investors. Which could be anybody from some unnamed capital group in New York to Smirsch or Spectre. It's probably not Spectre. If it had been Spectre, there would have been a lot more work done here. We would have had a vast underground lair built. Maybe they did. I don't know. You know, I've been down at the shore of the Lake Lalac in the summertime, and I haven't really seen any conning towers coming out from an underground tunnel suggesting a sub bay has been built under the diner. So probably not a big lair. And I also haven't, I think when evil supervillain organizations tend to build underground lairs, they have a problem with manpower. It's a constant question, who builds these things? Well, you know, cheap labor, and then they're shot, right? So you've got to have then somebody shooting the guys who are doing the building. Now, obviously, it's not a union shop. The union rules are very strict on who and who cannot shoot each other. So it's got to be some managing organization that's brought in to do the to shoot the subcontractors eventually. But unless you spill it out in the details of the contract, what are you going to do with the bodies? You know, a lot of these subcontractors just pile them up on site, and then, hey, the smell. That's how most supervillain lairs were actually discovered in the 50s and 60s. The aroma. Hold on a second here. Hold that hamburger. I'm not hungry right now. Just later with that hamburger. And I think that if Spectre had been retrofitting the diner as a point for world domination, some of these stools probably would be operated hydraulically and would drop the occupant into a lake of fire. If I noticed from one of the Bond movies, if anybody failed, that was the worst thing you could do when you were working for Spectre, was to fail. Blofeld would look at you and stroke his cat and say, "You have failed us for the last time." I don't know how many fails you got. One fail, two fail. Whether or not your employment record at Spectre consisted of one big piece of paper that said fail on top of it, and then there were, you know, hatch marks. Once you got that diagonal one, number five, that's it, lake of fire. And your chair would drop down and you would you'd be pitched into fire. Which is a little bit more efficient than making somebody clear out everything into a cardboard box and be marched downstairs by security, but pretty much the same idea. And I just wondered how the contractors would have handled that. Well, we got your chairs all set up so that they travel down to the other level, but I'm looking at the blueprints here, and somebody's made that other level into a lake of fire. Yes, we wanted it that way, actually. The chairs do go directly into the lake of fire. Oh, okay, so it's a sauna-type thing, then. Well, it temperature set a little high down there. Well, yes, we'll figure that out. Thank you very much. Exemplary work. Yes, yes, yes. Of course, we'll recommend you to the Better Business Bureau for evil overlord organizations. All right, Merry Christmas. So that didn't happen. But whatever the new owners were, they're gone. That's right. We've been sold again. Now, the last owners turned us into a strip club, a newspaper, a television studio, a casino. They tried absolutely everything to make this place work, never really thinking that just being a great little restaurant that serves great hamburgers and depilatory strength coffee and Jubal and the rest of our treats here, those ticker stopper hamburgers with the extra layer of cheese saturated bacon stuffed inside the bacon. I mean, you can't get that anywhere else here. That wasn't enough. Now they had to find some other way. That's because they had hundreds of millions of dollars of debt to buy this place. Now we know they bought the diner because they were intending on using all the land around it to build something. I don't know what they thought was going to happen. You know, spaceport, casino, whatever it was, it all failed, and now we were sold again. And interestingly enough, I looked at the court records. We were sold for $79.37. Now, given that I think we sold for something like I think it was like $97 million. I think we're undervalued now and poised for growth, as they like to say. When they're not growing. But enough of this. The diner will be here for years to come, and I look forward to spending many days with you here at the counter. Let's stop talking already and get to some Christmas music, shall we? I wonder what the fellow who comes in the middle of the night to fill up the jukebox has for us this year. Let's go straight to the top with A1. This is from, look, trying to read the label. It's from an album called Rapping Norton? Nah. Couldn't be.
'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snuggled in beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. Then Mama in a kerchief and I in my cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the
yes, that's Art Carney rapping. I cannot possibly imagine the genesis for that album. Let's get Art Carney to sing some Christmas songs. Hey, great idea! A week later, talk to his agent. Art can't sing. Hey, no problem. Let's just have him scat talk them, beatnik style, for that Art Carney feeling. That's what folks want, for their Yule sensation. And so this album was born. First was introduced to Art Carney, of course, through the wonderful Honeymooners show, which I saw a lot as a kid. Loved it. I always thought that Ralph Cramden was going to have a massive myocardial infarction in every single episode, but never did. And I was always struck by the shabbiness of their apartments. I mean, Ralph Cramden was a bus driver. This is not unskilled labor. Yet he lived in this horrible apartment, which really did not speak well of the prevailing wage structure of the New York City transportation infrastructure. But it was funny. You just always wondered, though, whether there was a last episode that they cut out where Ralph went nuts and just killed everybody. Just flipped his lid. Stroke will do that to you sometimes. Trixie was probably the first, oddly enough. She came downstairs, seeing if Norton was there, caught Ralph in the wrong mood. He did her in with a table leg or something, and then after that, of course, he had to do the rest of them, one after the other, as they came through the door. Just sad. Just sad. But for heaven's sakes, he's still going.
Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Well, that was interesting, wasn't it? Let's just go at random here. Anything's got to be better than that. Oh, come on.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Tommy. One day, he wrote a letter to Santa Claus up in the North Pole and said, "Dear Santa, I have been a good little boy all year, so I am writing you now to say, all I want for Christmas is a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop. All I want for Christmas is a doodly-boop. Come to the yada, doodly-boop."
No,
When Santa read the letter, he was very much surprised, because he hadn't had anyone ask him for a doodly-boop in a long time.
So to speak.
It was the day before Christmas, so into the toy factory, Santa went, looking for a doodly-boop. He looked high, and he looked low, but there wasn't a single doodly-boop in sight. Santa went through the toy factory singing, "Has anybody seen a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop? Has anybody seen a doodly-boop? Doodly-boop." But none of his helpers knew where there might be a doodly-boop in sight. So Santa went home slowly and sadly, singing, "Oh, where is the doodly-boop? A doodly-boop."
You know, if Mrs. Claus gives him a doodly-boop, I think we can be certain this is one of those party albums.
Doodly-boop, dump diddly-ada, doodly-boop. When Santa came home, Mrs. Santa Claus opened the door and said to him, "Santa, you look so tired and unhappy. What's wrong?" Santa said, "Little Tommy asked for a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop. Little Tommy asked for a doodly-boop, dump diddly-ada, doodly-boop. But there is none in sight anywhere, and it's almost time for me to deliver my Christmas toys." "Why don't you look into the closet?" said Mrs. Santa Claus. With a start, Santa jumped up, ran over to the closet, opened the door, and out fell hundreds of doodly-boops. Picking one up and putting it quickly in his bag, Santa went on his way to deliver his Christmas toys, singing, "Little Tommy's gonna get a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop. Little Tommy's gonna get a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop."
So Santa got his doodly-boops in the closet. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Well, I never really thought I'd say this, but I think that's enough Art Carney for the Christmas season. See what else we have here in the jukebox. Let's head on over to B1. No, B2. Let's try the flip side.
"Sleeping in your bed and the bat flies round your head. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. If a full moon's in the sky and you hear a werewolf cry, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Then your stocking's hanging on the mantel and the fireplace is all aglow. Old Santa will come right down the chimney into the fire and he will scream, ho, ho! If you're reading Mother Goose and her head is in a noose, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. If your eggnog tastes like mud, add a little dash of blood. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. If you want to get a lot of presents and to make your Christmas very bright, you must be very good to Mom and Daddy and give them a good night bite. When you're skating on the moat and somebody bites your throat, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas."
Yes, 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 of course, yes. We get the point. Monsters celebrate Christmas. I think all the monsters could probably be brought up on treason by the Prince of Darkness for that whole album there. I'm sure there were lots of repercussions. I mean, that really is propaganda for the enemy side. That's like Tokyo Rose, if you're a, you know, a monster. Are these guys going to do an Easter album next? Christ is risen, blah. But, gotta love those monsters. All right, let's see if we can have one more thing here before we go to the break. I'm going to go randomly around here, and what's this group? I am not familiar with them. I am not Beatles. 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 I don't know. Could be French. Oh, God. Oh, that's horrible. Oh, please, no. Ugh. Well, I don't think we'll be hearing from those guys again. Ugh. Man, if that was an audition, I don't think they passed it. We'll be back right after this. A word from some of our sponsors.
Say, how are morning appetites at your house? Well, if they're pretty drowsy, here's a real good way to wake them up. Set a bowl full of Post Toasties, the heap good cornflakes, at everybody's place. Just watch your folks take notice when they see how crisp Post Toasties are. And wait till they taste that sweet kernel corn flavor toasted in. Bet your whole tribe will agree with you. Post Toasties are the best thing that's happened to corn since the Indians discovered it. And here's a thought, if you'd like to make a good thing even better, try topping Post Toasties with your favorite fruit. You'll find that's a mighty good way to start the day. Fact is, it's a downright delicious way. So next time you shop, be sure to ask for Post Toasties. They're the heat good cornflakes. You'll see.
Post Toasties, heat good cornflakes. The best thing that's happened to corn since the Indians discovered it. Heat good cornflakes. Post Toasties, heat good cornflakes.
Now back to...
Looking for a few good men. Men who want to learn good jobs. And today, a qualified man can choose the direction he wants to go in the Marine Corps. Choose the kind of skills he wants to learn. Like computers, aircraft maintenance, or electronics, radio communications, food services, aviation technology. You name it, Marines do it. If you want to learn it, the Marines will teach you skills, responsibility, and leadership in any field you can handle. Remember, qualified men can choose their own directions in the Marine Corps. Skills to learn, careers to build in many directions. The Marines are looking for a few good men who want to choose their own directions, want to learn good jobs, want to be Marines.
Disco Santa is an Aaron Spelling production.
Even Grandpa and Grandma will have to say it's sure been fun doing the rock and disco with Santa Claus. Everyone along the way will say, wasn't it fun on this Christmas day? Merry Christmas from Rock and Disco Santa Claus this day.
I'm not sure, is there any rocking disco going on here? I'm unclear on the concept. Could you be a little bit more specific?
Sorry, Santa's a magical creature, but not even Santa can reconcile the different styles of rock and disco. Can't be done. These are two different genres. I don't expect... Or genres, as we say back in North Dakota. I don't expect that Santa Claus would be able to combine them into one synthesis. Some say that Giorgio Moroder actually managed to bring a rock tone to disco, but actually, Giorgio Moroder was simply borrowing the electronic proto-trance of Kraftwerk and establishing it with a more disco, sybaritic, cocaine-fueled beat for the Studio 54 era. Had nothing to do with rock. Thank you very much. Oh, that's dreadful. But you know, in a way, first of all, we should be glad there aren't... there isn't a great big body of 1970s Christmas music, because that would really be too much to bear, wouldn't it? It would either be sunken-chested chicken neck troubadours singing sensitive songs about Christmas, Hawkeye Pierce style. Although Hawkeye Pierce wasn't sensitive, he was just an ass. He's a drunken lech. If Hawkeye Pierce in the MASH show had been
Happy Turkey Day,
wrong holiday, guys. That of course is the breathy white people's chorus. But I did promise that we'd hear from them, so I guess we should get to that. Let me finish my point. If Hawkeye Pierce had been a short little guy with carbuncles and bad breath and an alcoholic and a butt grabber, he would not have been seen as this great, sensitive anti-war hero. He would have been a creepy little trollish lech. All right? That's all I want to say. But, of course, he was played by Alan Alda, so he was God of the late 70s. All right, the breathy white people have been working on something for Christmas. Guys, take it away. We'd love to hear what you've been working on. Well, that was very nice. Thank you. Thank you much. I think it has the added pleasure of brevity. Guys, if it's taking you this long to get a breath for the next thing, you might want to consider cutting back on the Winstons, because your wind is... Sorry. Sorry. That was very nice, though. That was very seasonal, very, very lovely. The harmony was just... I can't take it anymore. I'm sorry. I've been looking at these blinking lights for the last however long, and I can't take it anymore. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to rewire those things. I'm just going to have to take those little boxes apart and set the breakers or the switches or whatever until they're all blinking the same way, because having half of them blink one way and having half of them blink the other way another way is just driving me absolutely crazy. So I'm going to put on something. You can listen to this. I'll be back as soon as I'm done. Thank you.
Santa Claus wanted to make a change. He left at home his old sleigh and reins. He got himself a saucer ship to deliver his Christmas gifts. Ho, 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 here comes good old Santa. Ho, 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 here comes good old Santa. Santa is a wise old man. Snow and cold he sure can stand. He lights so easy on the chimney tops and delivers gifts at every stop. Girls and boys, he gives handy toys. And mom and dad, he gives a Christmas joy. Oh, ho, 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 here comes good old Santa. Oh, ho, ho, here comes good old Santa. Santa's a wise old man. The snow and the cold, he sure can stand. That old sleigh bell he took along to chime it out, the old Christmas song. The good old bells have the same old ring. Ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling, ding-a-ling. The old reindeers, white, and their old fast Christmas gate took its toll. Now Santa's left them at home to give them all time to rest and roam. Oh, yeah. Here he comes, good old Santa. Oh, here comes good old Santa. He's a wise old man. The snow and the cold he sure can stand. Ho, 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 here comes the old Santa, wise old man.
Oh, okay. Well, that didn't work exactly as planned. I guess me and electricity don't...
What a dork!
Yeah, guys, I know. Oh, man, I think I melted my fillings. One of my toenails shot right out of my boot. Pinged off a car. Oh, well, on the other hand, I got them all to work synchronizedness. All the Christmas lights outside the diner are in perfect synchronicity. They're not blinking at all, which is a sort of unified arrangement on its own, don't you think? But around here, everything's happy, and everything's fine. The Christmas will go on as usual. We can probably fix the lights if somebody around here knows electricity better than me. In any case, I really want to thank you folks for stopping by. It's been the Diner for 2009. I'm James Lilacs, and I'll see you down the road. Ooh, I see my bones blinking on and off of my hands still.
Doodly-boo.